And I don't know, today I didn't wake up very motivated to wake up any more people. I woke up today and said, you know what, I think I'm just going to put my rucksack on and I'm going to find some low ground and I'm going to hide in the thickets and I'm going to wait for
that's natural,
the
blast
to pass over.
It's natural, but it's in your DNA. You can't, I mean, at least I think it's in a lot of guys' DNAs. They're fighters.
So you're saying if I take an mRNA vaccine, maybe my DNA will change?
No, I wouldn't go that far.
Maybe you might be onto something. Yeah,
exactly. It'll change.
But, really is a struggle and a dilemma. Go ahead.
These guys show up on your front doorstep. How do you see the FBI? Do you see them as an arm of this vicious, evil cabal?
Well, yeah, how can you not?
Yeah.
I mean, hell, what's the story yesterday? Now they're not going to background check the foster homes that they're putting these immigrant kids in. I mean, that right there is that's like the ding, ding, ding of human trafficking right there, right? I mean, look, we know that the federal government, I mean, there's Senate testimony, there's been convictions, documentaries dating back to black and white TV of involvement of these agencies in criminal activity. I mean, every single terrorist attack, the pre-written form media story is this guy was being tracked by the FBI.
Yeah.
Yeah, no shit. Right? I mean, and so does that make FBI guys all bad? Well, you know, there was a time that, you know, when Sean Hannity would say his typical, 99% are good line, I believed it, but I don't believe that anymore, because you can't claim that the guys at the top are the only evil ones when the guys at the bottom are the ones executing the operation. And while there is compartmentalization, okay, and so the compartmentalization can oftentimes cover the true intent behind an individual operation. At some point, these guys who are smart guys, I mean, you just don't get to go to the FBI because you want to, you know, play the role of Keanu Reeves. I mean, these are smart guys. At some point, these guys have to start asking themselves questions. And do you mean to tell me that in this huge law enforcement bureaucracy of the FBI, there's no good guys that are leaking information to guys like yourself or platforms that can say, hey, the FBI is corrupt. Here's the evidence. Somebody please help us because we're on the inside surrounded by bad guys. You just never see it. So
it's tough. I mean, especially upper level guys. Forget about it.
If I meet a guy that's in the FBI at a bar, will I be able to sit there and drink a beer with him? Yeah, but do I think when that guy is told to go fuck with a retired Green Beret that did nothing but give up his life and his youth and his health in the support of this country's constitution and the safety of its people, because you want to recruit him to turn against other people who are trying to uphold that same oath? And then that guy says, "Well, all right, man. Hey, I'm just doing my job." I mean, if you go to Brandon's video that can be found on band.video under his Just Another Channel thing and watch it, you know, these guys are they're getting their full pay while everyone else is unemployed or losing business because of this COVID hoax, you know, and they're just going along because they don't want to lose their paycheck, right?
That's what it comes down to.
And that's everybody.
That's what it comes down to for these
guys. That's everybody.
You hear this all the time. It's pension and paycheck and pension, blah, 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 blah.
It's the I'm just following orders. And, look, I've had my guns confiscated unjustly twice in 3 years and had to fight to get them back. And every time the deputies are like, hey, man, I know this is screwed up. Okay,
I'm just doing my job.
Then why don't you do something about it?
Yeah, I'm just doing my job, man. I'm working for the man.
Yeah, your oath isn't to the cheat, the corrupt Hillsborough County Chad Cronister, tied to the DeBartolos, tied to George Soros, back state attorney Andrew Warren. Chief, your oath is to the Constitution. You are violating the Constitution So at what point do you say, sorry, Chief, but I'm not going to do that? It's a violation of the Constitution. Yet we have nothing but law enforcement officers across the country that are good guys and good girls that, you know, wear the badge, put their life on the line, that aren't putting their principles, and they're willing to put their life on the line, but they're not willing to put their paycheck on the line. And that really sums up the situation that we're in. And it's why I tell people, look, if you want to do the right thing and you want to get out of this on the right side of history, you had better learn to be poor, because they've got you in a debt trap. They have you addicted to stuff intentionally. Okay. The battle of the keeping up with the Joneses is a psyop. Okay. I mean, think back to the founding of this country. Most people were, you know, I think the studies were like 90% of people, you know, sustained themselves. They had their own land. They farmed it for their own right. food. You know, they didn't get up and go to work for some guy. They got up and worked their piece of heaven. Right. And now it's completely reversed. Now maybe 10% of people have the ability to last more than 2 weeks without having to go to a grocery store or check their email or whatever. And 90%, I mean, that is a recipe for a mass World War Z zombie apocalypse style form of chaos. And I tell people all the time that, you know, their idea of preparedness, and I think guys like Mike Glover, and there's a couple of different guys out there, you know, they kind of address this in their thing, is that if you it's not about whether you can put on kit and engage targets at 5, 7, and 10 meters in a tight two round shot group, because the enemy has tanks and drones and nuclear weapons and energy weapons and weather. You're not going to defeat them in a, you know, face-to-face battle, right? Your level of preparedness as far as it comes to tactics really should be to defend yourself against the mass hordes of hungry, unprepared social media influencers that are going to all be storming your front yard because they heard that you have a can of beans left, okay?
Yeah.
Now, does that mean that the great military-industrial complex can't be overthrown? Well, of course it can be. That's the power of insurgency. But not with your little ragtag bag of Oath Keepers or Proud Boys. It will be when half of that force seizes control of half of that military and then turns it. That's how that part of this game goes, right? You know, Red Dawn wasn't won by Patrick Swayze and those guys. They merely survived until there was a force amassed large enough to recapture America. So you really should watch the movie again and pay attention to the details, because the role of the guerrilla or the patriot or the insurgent isn't to defeat the military. It's to basically sustain, survive,
install them,
and be there for when we can gather up an actual military to fight them.
Right.
I mean, remember, the Revolutionary War was being lost for 5 years. I mean, It was no grand glorious storyline. Like the Continental Army was getting its asses handed to it for a very long time, and only at the end were they able to finally
They had to go off the book.
You can't
fight the British the way the British fight a war. You have to go off the book, and you have to roll up your sleeves and
and you have to prepare to suffer for a very, very long time. And I don't know that Americans are prepared for that.
Well, I don't think they are. And I think that, but then, you know, you think about it too. I mean, I always come back to this and I find a little bit of solace, and not much, but a little bit of solace thinking of that only about 3% of the colonists back in 1776 were the troublemakers that made everything happen anyhow.
Right.
So,
right, but I don't think we're anywhere near that 3%. I mean, hell, I will tell you that that my interview's probably been viewed by, you know, close to 900,000 people, and I have 200 emails. Well, what's the math on that?
It's not good. The math is not good. The math is not good.
I mean, if you want to see bad math, walk your ass to the grocery store right now and try to find somebody not wearing a mask. And I'm in Florida, right?
Yeah.
We literally at one of our hide sites, while we're ducking our unlawful detainment, we go to the grocery store. I literally was handing out $5 bills to anybody not wearing a mask, and it cost me $20.
That's it. $20, huh?
In a public, on a busy shopping day, right? I would literally go up to people and say, "Hey, I like your freedom. Here's $5. And they look at me like a strange guy. But see, sometimes it just gets to me so much that I just can't restrain myself. It drives my girlfriend crazy because I start talking loud and I'm like, man, I bet if I was giving out $100 bills, these people would take off their mask. And I literally had a guy with his mask on say, "Well, how about if I walk around the corner and take my mask off and then come back? Can I still get $100 bill?" And
I'm like, "No." He wants to go around the corner.
Right. I'm like, "No, I already saw you." But see, this is it. Like, they're happy to go along with the slavery. They want something in return. Well, how about this? How about a nice pair of chains and some mush, right? Because that's what you're going to end up with if you're lucky.
Well, you don't have to worry about, no matter how bad things get, when the FBI shows up at your door, they tell you what a great person you are and what a credit you are to the entire race. And they're not really there to do anything bad to you. You're the number one guy and they trust you and they're friends with you. And then, when they're turning an asset, it's all romance. And then before you know it, your ass is up on federal charges.
Right.
it's really incredible.
And I think this is why you never see the headline of former Green Beret was actually working with the FBI. Yeah. You know why? Because guys like me, 38 seconds into their attempt, because trust me, they would love to get a former Green Beret or a former Navy SEAL or whatever to work for them. Because I say this in that interview, I could walk into any knitting circle of patriots that run a print shop or run a laundromat or whatever, but really love their liberty and they're willing to fight for it. I could walk into any of those groups and with my resume, have them doing anything I wanted in a couple of days, right? And they know this, right? That is what unconventional warfare is. You go into the circle of guys wearing flip-flops and you say, "Hey, guys, you might want to think about putting on some boots," right?
Right.
And this is the nature of unconventional warfare. And so, one of the things I told the Oath Keepers is you guys need to make Oath Keepers like a knitting club. Or, where you get together and you smoke cigars and you watch movies, right? It needs to be the most benign thing in the world, okay? They need to go, "Oh, we thought these guys were defending the Republic. They're really just hiding out from their wives," okay?
Yeah, it's like a fraternity.
Because guess who gets decapitated once the insurgents gain power? The counterinsurgents, right? And that's exactly what you see. You see these groups are being attacked and they're being attacked from different angles. And I think that you're not seeing the Waco style or the Ruby Ridge attack yet because these guys are patient, patriots. Like they're not the people that they claim in the media narrative. They're not the ones that are going to have a shootout with the FBI, right? They're the ones that respect authority and back the blue and all these other things, right? So, but, really, the enemy takes advantage of the fact that we actually have more restraint than we do love for liberty, right? Because I listen to all these talking heads talk about, it's not the American, violence is not the American way, and, that was so un-American.
But it is. It really is.
I'm like, how the hell did you think America was formed?
Yeah,
Washington didn't debate the King George into giving up. Alexander Hamilton didn't write love letters. Did they use every tool in their arsenal? You're damn right they did, because that's what you have to do when you don't have the ships and you don't have the tanks, right? But the mantra of, oh, we're not a violent, really? America's not violent? Have you looked at the casualty numbers from the Civil War that, you know, freed the slaves?
Yeah, what, 600,000. 600,000. It's like, poof,
have
gone.
You looked at the map of current U.S. soldiers right now all over the planet? America is nothing but violence. I mean, we send our military around the world to execute violence in support of our diplomatic efforts. And so for these politicians to sit up there and say, oh, this just isn't the American way, they're saying that because they know that the violence is going to be directed at them. So, of course, if I have an angry mob out there in my front yard with pitchforks and torches, I'm going to tell them, hey, guys, this isn't the way we should handle it. Because guess what? I'm going to be the one receiving the pitchforks and the flames. But when you exhaust all your means, I mean, people really need to read the Declaration of Independence. They lay it all out. You know, when you exhaust every other means, you leave us with no choice, right? I mean,
and we've been down this. We've been down the road. We've already been down the road. I mean,
there's nothing
it's
new.
A map.
There's nothing new under the sun.
Yeah.
Nothing new, right? We just are repeating ourselves. But see, with each turn of humanity, we pick up a little bit more information. And so in the last turn, in the last bout with tyranny, our forefathers gave us a little piece of information, which is the first way you should attack this is with your speech, your press, your faith, your ability to gather in numbers. But a tyrant's not going to listen to that. So the next, I mean, it's beautiful what they did. I mean, they literally issued an operations order.
Right? It's actually genius. It's really, the whole thing is genius, the way they set it up. And that's what pisses these people off so much today. They're like,
well, yeah. And see, here's the thing. They know it, okay? They know it, right? Our enemy is so much further advanced in this process than we are. They know exactly what is happening, can happen, and will happen. We are the dumbasses, okay? We are the ones that literally are debating, well, I think that we do need common sense gun law. No, because the founding father said, shall not be infringed for one reason and one reason only. Because they knew the first thing that they were going to do is infringe on it. Because humans are easily conquered incrementally. We can take a little bit here and a little bit there and a little bit here and a little. And then the next thing you know, the debate is about how guns are for hunting and sport shooting. That is the largest crock of crap, right? They know it. And that's exactly why they've infiltrated organizations like the NRA and all that stuff. And so we have to realize what is going on here. And if you're listening, I know they're listening, right? So this is to my FBI, NSA, CIA brothers out there that I know are listening. Okay. Yes, I think we should follow the Declaration of Independence and the U.S. Constitution to the T. All right. Because America is not a global, finance arm, right? We are a sovereign nation. We are a constitutional republic, and we actually have the rules in place to allow the 50 laboratories of liberty to figure out all the problems. We don't need overpaid bureaucrats and criminals, child molesters, pedophiles, that sit in the seats of power up in D.C., falsely telling us that they're fixing all our problems, when in reality, almost every problem in this country has been caused by a politician, which is why the founders didn't believe in a permanent professional political class. But yet, it's amazing how quickly these crooks figured out a way to write into existence the system that we now have, with tyrannical jurists, with tyrannical representatives and tyrannical executives, right? They, you know, and everybody's like, well, do you support term limits? Yeah, I do. But you know who doesn't? The people that pass the laws.
Yeah.
And so that's about as wasteful a discussion as you will ever have, because there's no way in hell someone is ever going to vote themselves a pay reduction or limit their future access to power. So the only way to do it is through the use of the state and by demanding at the local level that these things be fixed. But like I've said before, I think we're beyond that. I think the Republic has already fallen. If you don't believe me, read the Constitution and then think about some of the things that we argue about as being conservative and liberal, right? COVID relief, not constitutional. Find me in the Constitution where the government is responsible for funding education or anything, right? The 10th Amendment says, hey, you jackasses, this is where your authority stops. And then, of course, we pass some after the 10th Amendment, but really most of them are you know, it's not easy to amend the Constitution, and it wasn't meant to be easy, right? But yet here we are. We argue that, I support this form of healthcare reform, and I support. But first of all, there should be no healthcare reform because there should be no federal involvement in your healthcare. I mean, and this is how the incrementalism has worked, right? I mean, Marbury versus Madison.
A little bit here, a little bit there.
You know, we take the Constitution, we change it with Marbury versus Madison, and say, hey, the Supreme Court is the final be all say all. Well, that would then make them in charge, because the last time I checked it, as a dad, I'm in charge, which means I have the final say on things, right? The Constitution does not give the Supreme Court the right to be the final word on anything. It simply gives them the responsibility to settle disputes between the states and ensure that the laws that are passed by the legislature and signed by the president are actually following the letter of the law as written. Not to make law. The concept of legal precedent is tyranny. Like a judge that can say, oh yeah, I think the Fourth Amendment says that you have a right to an abortion. Read the Fourth Amendment, people. It doesn't say shit about abortion in there. But yet some man or some collection of men or combination of men and women can just say that that's what it says, and nobody questions it. They just go, oh, okay, Roe v. Wade, that's the law. No, it's not. So frustrating.
You're a well-spoken guy, and obviously from the last, you know, hour we spent together, and you're very well read, obviously, and so a person of your stature, et cetera, and experience could be very effective in many ways, especially if folks who are listening to your interviews start to look at you and say, hey, this guy is somebody I want to hear more from. I want to listen to more. And do you think the FBI comes to your door in a way that is like a reverse op to silence somebody like you, to put you out of commission, so to speak? Hey, help us with the Oath Keepers is just a scheme to implicate you in something else.
Well, of course it is. I mean, look, here's the reality. I retired in 2012. I started a limousine business.
Right.
Okay. Totally ridiculous. But, you know, I'm the kind of guy that I see something, I go, oh, I can do that and I can do it better. So that's what I did. I had no experience in transportation, but I drove as a chauffeur during the RNC in 2012. And I thought, man, if these guys can make money running such a shit operation,
right,
imagine what I could do with this. And so that's what I did. So, and the only reason we really shut that business down is because my brother took his own life, and I ended up with his oldest son overnight. So we went from having just two adults in the house to now having a high school boy, and it just became too much and too stressful. So we made the decision to put family over finance. And we shut the company down. Well, after my nephew went and back and lived with his mother, you know, I'm sitting around doing nothing, you know, ranting like I am now, watching the news, knowing what's happening, seeing my country being really taken over by a coordinated, you know, military effort. And so I decided to run for Congress. And then magically, I started to have all these issues.
just
guns
as magic.
Confiscated twice, break-ins, court cases, legal fees. Look, ultimately, it all goes back to there's two sides, good and evil, right? And evil has a way of attacking those that are threats to it, right? Good's not so good at that, right? Good is not a preemptive offensive type team, right?
And they play off
the good
of that.
Team,
they play off of that.
Yeah, of course they do, right? I mean, the good team is, you know, has the very robust rules of engagement, and the bad team doesn't, right? So, yeah, I mean, I think ultimately, I want to just be left alone. I want to live, you know, and I say this all the time, and hopefully I hope the viewership of this movie goes up, but the movie Captain Fantastic, and don't let the title fool you, it's not a Marvel superhero movie, like somebody asked me when I mentioned, you know, I want the life of Captain Fantastic, and they're like, oh, well, what kind of uniform does he wear? I'm like, no. It's really a movie about a guy who just lives, you know, a meager off-grid lifestyle with it and raises his family. But you see that type of lifestyle actually raises good people because they're educated, they understand how the world works, and people look at them as they're weird, right? So that's really the life that I want, right? I want to be left alone. I want to raise children. I want to appreciate the world that we live in because it is beautiful. I don't want a phone. I don't want a TV, all these things, right? But like you said, I mean, we are victims of the sheepdog DNA.
Yeah, you right? are. You can't. You. There's part. Look, I'm going to put words in your mouth. You tell me if I'm out of line. There's part of you that wants all this other stuff. Captain Fantastic. You moved to the woods. You raised the six kids like he did, with rigorous physical exercise.
So you've seen the movie.
Yeah. So. That's part of you. But then there's something else that always pulls you back and says, well, maybe in another time or maybe in the future we can do that. But for right now, there's a fight here. And is that accurate?
Yeah. I mean, look, one of the hardest things for me to watch is footage of these public beatdowns, right? Or these people attacking other people for not wearing a mask or,
yeah,
you know, carjackings or whatever. And all around them are people standing, watching, with their phones out.
They're filming it.
They're filming. Yeah.
It's like,
they're watching life
get in there.
Happen around them. And nobody steps in and does anything. See, I just can't grasp that, right? I mean,
it's insane. It really is insane. It's insane.
And look, I fear, and because, look, I don't like to fight, okay? And I will tell you, even to this day right now, like when I was in SF, right, in you know, active duty guys, they stay in shape, they work out because they know that they're going to be in a battle and they're going to have to fight and they're going to have to roll and they're going to have to, you know, fight, you know, possibly take another man's life or another woman's life for that matter. And so they keep themselves in tip-top shape. It's almost like a mental block for me that I remain in my retired, pudgy dad bod condition because it's almost like once I accept the fact that I have to get in combat shape, there's like no going back, right? It's almost like, you make it real then. And so, you know, I'm not a tough guy. I don't like to fight. I actually hate pain. I'm a huge pussy when it comes to that. And, you know, guys like, oh, I do MMA, I do this. Well, you know, I carry a gun, all right? I just make sure I'm really good at the gun part because right. I don't want to have to roll on the ground and bite somebody. I will.
Yeah.
You know, I have a natural form of aggression, but I'm really just a lovable, huggable fuzzball.
Yeah.
Which
is good. Some of our female listeners are going to really like that.
But do you understand what I mean? I mean, it's like, I have this, like, it's almost like my last form of denial. You know, I should get up. I should stop drinking beer. I should, you know, get back in shape, pull out my P90X or V-Shred or my own personal workout from back in the days or whatever. Right? I should shed a few pounds because I know what's coming. But it's almost like once I do that, it's like, damn it. Now I'm officially accepting the sorry state of affairs that we're in. So it's tough. It's tough. But yeah, I mean, it's, I don't know.
Well, you're,
I think you should do it.
Which part?
Just take over, man. You got this. But you know what I mean, right? It's like,
oh, I know what you mean. I know what you mean. And the problem is that there's just not enough people. There's too many sheep, and it's hard to convert them into understanding what's going on out here. And then there's always this thing where even my wife says to me, why does it always have to be you? Why are you always in the middle of these
things?
Why are you always in the middle of these things? Why can't you just avoid these things? Why can't you stay out of the scrap? Why can't you just take a step back, and you're always in the middle of the fight? You're always ready to go. And get in these fights. And I say, you know, I don't know. I just don't know.
Because we're cursed.
Yeah, I think maybe. I mean, it is more of a curse than a blessing, I think. I really do think that.
Do you have kids?
Yeah, sure.
What's the makeup?
Two boys.
Two boys. Okay. Yeah. So many of my special ops brethren will acknowledge this. And, you know, I've heard it referred to as the Ranger curse or the special ops curse or whatever. But so many of us have girls. I have five girls.
That is a curse.
So many guys.
I know a lot of guys have girls.
Right. That have this background have girls. And you almost have to wonder, it's like, do we have so many girls because we're the ones that know? Trust me. I know how to teach my girl to stay away from jackass guys because I was that jackass guy.
Well, you have to be the jackass guy to protect them. It's. You know.
And so, you know, look, things always seem to happen, you know, for a reason. They always seem to line up. And I honestly believe that, you know, here, you know, 2 years ago, you know, I was laying around feeling sorry for myself, depression, and I think most of us have had these struggles with the dark side and, you know, if you feel like you no longer have purpose, then that military mindset is that, well, you know, we want to cut away our liabilities and keep, and then so you see yourself as a liability and you're like, well, I'd be better off if I, like, you know, check out. And I think that's the reason why a lot of guys struggle with suicide and things like that. But
it is. And it's a damn shame because, you know,
what we also know is we know how to embrace the suck, right? And so we start to feel sorry for ourselves for losing our kids and for struggling with this and struggling with that. But when it comes down to it, these are the things that have us in that mindset that when the bad things happen, everything does slow down because we're like, oh, this is no big deal. I mean, my squad leader in Ranger Battalion, Paul Johnson, and if he's out there listening, Paul, I'm going to pay you a visit soon. But, you know, when we were going to invade Haiti back in the, you know, early to mid 90s, Operation Lost Weekend, we called it. You know, when we got the stand down order because Jimmy Carter and Colin Powell went in and ruined our opportunity to burn Port-au-Prince to the ground.
Right.
You know, all of us young Rangers are super depressed. And I was really depressed. I think I went like 2 or 3 days without even talking. And he pulled me aside and he goes, listen here, Ranger, you know why we treat you like shit is so that when you actually end up in combat, it's no big deal.
That's true. And it's a great point. And I was going to say to you, you know how to embrace the suck because you do things like Seer. You do things like, I mean, you go through hell and you're like, okay, well, I can handle that. That was rock bottom, so I can handle anything that comes at me, really.
It's because war sucks. So if you're going to prepare for war, you have to suck harder.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, I coach women's basketball and it's like, okay, well, we need to run sprints for 25% longer than the length of a game, right? Or be prepared. Right. Why? Because if you train harder then the actual event, will be easier, right? And, you know, I knew nothing about basketball when I started coaching, and yet I had like a 38-2 record, won a Washington State Recreational Women's Basketball Championship. But it's because you understand the concept of, you know, what does it take to win a war? And sporting events is, you know, a very much less violent form of warfare, right? But and that's why in these times, you know, look at the Romans and all of this, what was always prevalent, the fake warfare of the Colosseum or sporting events and things like that. Why? Because we have the able-bodied men that are all type A, you know, they could be sheepdogs, but instead they're in kennels, right?